Okay. This morning we're going to have Greg's going to be preaching to us, and we're going to be going through James verses 22 through 25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How's everybody?
Great.
I have to share with you this morning, spiritual warfare is real. It's been a very distracting week, culminating last night in Wendy and I being woke up with somebody driving their car around our yard. Not sure what that was all about, but didn't get much sleep after that. It was interesting. Needless to say, the Lord is in control. So this morning we're gonna get into the book of James again. Let me pray for us, and then we'll begin. Father God, we come this morning just to worship you. You are glorious, Lord, the God of heaven and earth. All you do is good. All you do is righteous. You are holy, God, and there is none but you. We just commit our lives to you this morning, Lord. We know that with you at the helm, our life is in the best hands possible. We pray for the power of your word to go out through us today, Lord, that the message would be received and your spirit would help us to understand. Lord, we commit our time to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So I must confess this morning that I had never heard of Charlie Kirk until he was tragically murdered. What has surprised me is the emotional impact he has had on our country. His testimony of faith in Jesus Christ has moved this nation in a powerful way. His life impacted hundreds of thousands of people, but the Lord has used his death to impact millions. The decisions we make and the life we live today impact those around us, our families, ourselves, the world for eternity. When we live by faith, we impact those all around us. There is intended to be a distinct difference between how we live and how the world lives. How we live is our witness of the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. I am not a social media guy. It doesn't interest me at all. I'd like to share a post from Franklin Graham's Facebook page that the Lord put in my path. It says, "Charlie Kirk said, I want to be remembered for courage in my faith. The most important thing in my life is my faith. A single bullet silenced his voice on that platform, but it can't erase his influence, his legacy, and his testimony of Jesus Christ. Just a few days before his death, he posted, Jesus defeated death so we can live. Because Jesus was willing to die for us, are we willing to live for him today? The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 15, for the love of Christ compels us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Jesus died on the cross because of his love for us. It is this truth that should compel us to live in obedience to him. When we live by faith, we are a living testimony of the power of Jesus Christ in our life. We teach our children to live by faith. They will carry this testimony on into the future as a shining light in the darkness of this wicked world, a world that needs the salvation of Jesus Christ. Our lives were influenced by the lives of our parents. They were influenced by their parents before them, and so on. This influence goes all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve. You know their influence upon us. Paul describes it this way: just as sin came into the world through Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. This is the influence of sin we are born with. David tells us in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." In our fallen nature, there is an ingrained tendency to sin. In the beginning, God was clear in his command to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yet both Adam and Eve chose to disobey. When confronted with their disobedience, Adam did not accept responsibility. He blamed Eve and insinuated it was God's fault for giving her to him. Neither does Eve accept responsibility, but blames the serpent. They heard what God commanded and did not do what he said. They were hearers and not doers. God does not tempt anyone to sin, but calls those who are his to walk in obedience to him. We are not to be led astray by our worldly lust. The Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:14 through 16, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" God calls us to obedience. He calls us to be holy. This is the testimony that he wants us to have. When we love him, we will live out his word for the world to see. We will teach it to our children and live it for them to observe and learn. This was God's command to his people from the beginning. Hear the Jewish confession of faith known as the Shema. It's in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. True faith manifests itself in pure and total love for God. His word shall be impressed upon our hearts. We shall diligently teach them to our children. Furthermore, we shall continually talk about them and have them before our eyes." With God's word in our hearts, it becomes an active part of every aspect of our lives. This is the new covenant promise prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah. God said, "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts." When the scribes asked Jesus which was the greatest commandment, he quoted from the Shema. If we are going to live a holy life to the glory of God, we must love him with all of our heart and have his word written on our hearts. Holy living by the power and grace of God is a testimony of true faith. What would someone say about your testimony if they were asked today? We will continue this morning in chapter 1 of James. Thus far, we have seen two tests God uses to prove the genuineness of our faith. The first test of true faith is how we respond to trials. We should respond with patient endurance, having joy in the knowledge that our trial is for our good. The second test of true faith is how we respond to temptation. We do not blame God or anyone else. We must recognize it comes from within, and we must be self-controlled regarding our desires. So let's set the context of our passage this morning by reviewing verses 18 through 21. Beginning at verse 18, by the will of God we are brought forth, or born again, by the word of truth. It is the power of God's word that is able to regenerate the sinner. We are to be self-controlled in all things, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for anger does not produce the righteousness of God in us. Since we have been born again and have received the word of God, which is at work in those who believe, we submit to it, breaking our pattern of sinful thinking, which leads to sinful living. We can then in meekness surrender to the power of God's word, which is able to save us. This brings us to the third test of true faith, how we respond to hearing God's word. We begin in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. We see here another clear imperative by James. We must be doers of the word. When we hear and believe God's word, it should prompt us to action, doing the will of God. The question we must ask ourselves is, are we a doer actively living out God's word? Let's begin with the obvious. We cannot be doers unless we are first hearers of the word. When we hear God's word, we hear God's instruction about who he is, who we are, and who we can become in Christ. We can feel good about ourselves as we attend church on Sunday morning. We come on Sunday spending a couple hours to hear God's word, to worship together, to fellowship as the body of Christ. We then return Monday morning to being immersed in a world that stands opposed to us and our faith. Which will have the greater effect on us this week? 1 hour of hearing God's word on Sunday, or 167 hours of being immersed in a God-hating culture of our world? We will be conformed by whatever we find ourselves immersed in. If we are going to be doers of the word, we must be trained by the word. To be trained by God's word, we must be intentional about spending time in it. This begins by asking God to help us understand his word so we can obey it. Hear the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 119, 33 through 34. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. As we interact with God's word, I would share a word of caution with you from my own experience. At times, I have found myself powering through my daily reading, my quiet time, even my prayer time. This is so I could check it off my list and get back to whatever worldly distraction was nagging at my mind. This is disobedience, and it's fruitless at best. It is self-deceiving and will not train us in the way we should go. We must slow down and commit to the time we need to train our minds in the right way. If we begin with a little thoughtful, focused training in God's Word every day, we will see the fruit of the spiritual conditioning it can produce. It will fuel in us an even greater desire to know God. Hear this desire in the psalmist here in Psalm 63:1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Romans 12:2 tells us, as we surrender ourselves to God, we will become less conformed to the world, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. As we grow in our knowledge and understanding of God's Word, our actions will be guided by our renewed mind. I would like to suggest three training principles to help us be prepared to receive God's Word. Principle number one, we submit to God the Father. Romans 12:1 tells us to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, which is our spiritual worship. We must be surrendered to God and His will daily. We must give up our will so we can do His will. Principle number two, we submit to God the Son. Romans 10:9-10 tells us that we confess and believe Jesus is our Lord. And in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we must not think as the world thinks, but we take every thought captive to Christ. He is the filter for our minds. The third principle, we submit to God the Spirit. Romans 8:13 tells us if we live by the Spirit, we will put to death the deeds of the flesh. When we are in submission to God, we are able to humbly receive God's Word. We must also rightly divide His Word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. When we know and understand it correctly, we can apply it to our lives, doing what it says. I cannot speak for you, but I do not do this perfectly. However, this is where our heart and our minds should be. Being trained by God's Word may look differently to each one of us. We are all uniquely created and gifted. We will not all take in God's Word in the same manner. I have listed some of the different ways in which I might receive God's Word every day. A structured reading from a daily Bible, regular personal or group Bible study, listening to preaching from various forms of media, the memorization of Scripture, and the praying of Psalms. We all will have our own preferred vehicles for hearing and taking in God's Word. These are only a few of the possibilities. To be trained by God's Word, we must be taking it in regularly. We can do this through hearing it, reading it, studying it, meditating on it, and praying it. Immersing our minds in God's Word leads us to living it. This is our defense against the world's influence. If we are not intentional about training ourselves with the Word of God, our mind will not be transformed by it. If our mind is not transformed by it, we will not do what it says. It is through surrendering to Almighty God that we can effectively be trained by His Word. We know that faith comes through hearing the word of God. Hearing is God's word is the first step in believing what it says, leading to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who hear must also receive it as God's truth. The Apostle Paul tells the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it truly is, the word of God, which is at work in those who believe. Paul is very clear that the word of God is at work in those who believe. We must not only hear it, but we must believe it is God's word, and which then goes to work in the heart of the believer. If we are going to be doers of the word, we must first be hearers of the word. Our hearts must be prepared to hear it, receive it, and believe it is the word of God. Jesus teaches us a parable of the two foundations in Luke 6, 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Jesus asks a very clear question to the hearer. Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I tell you? Jesus is effectively saying, you have not submitted to me as Lord. We are deceiving ourselves when we call Jesus Lord, and our actions do not prove what we say. To be hearers only and not doers of the word of God is self-deception. It does not lead us to faith, but to our downfall. No one in their right mind would intentionally build a house knowing that it would fall down. Many people believe they are doers of the word, but they have deceived themselves. The work they are doing is on their own terms, by their own effort, for their own worldly reasons, and not because they have submitted to the Lord Jesus. Therefore, as many New Testament warnings about the false teachers deceiving people and leading them astray, here we are deceiving ourselves, which in my mind is even more damning. It is one thing to be deceived by someone else, but to call Jesus as Lord and do not do what he says is the height of hypocrisy. Those who love him will obey him, doing what he says. James continues in verses 23 through 24, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. I don't know about all of you, but when I get up in the morning and get dressed, believe it or not, the first thing I do is go to the mirror to see what my hair looks like. I don't have much hair. It's amazing how important it is. I long ago accepted the fact that I can't do anything about the rest. It takes me about 10 seconds to comb my hair with a wash rag, and I'm good to go for the day. Wendy has always been a little envious of this. When we get up in the morning and look in the mirror, we decide what we need to do based on what we see. What we do next affects our appearance for the rest of the day. We typically make a careful observation of ourselves and clean up our outward appearance. But if we do nothing and walk away from the mirror, we are no longer reminded of how we appear, and the motivation to make change is gone. If we act on what we are seeing as we stand in front of the mirror, we make ourselves presentable and then go about our day. Just as we look in the mirror and see an exact representation of who we are outside, so also when we carefully look into God's word, we see what God says about who we are inside. God's word reveals to us the depth of our sinfulness and depravity. He shows us that we need cleaning up, and apart from him, we can do nothing about our inward condition. The person who looks in the mirror and does nothing walks away unchanged. This is the same person who hears the word of God and walks away not being changed by it. There is no further pursuit of what it says. To the hearer only, what they had listened to is quickly forgotten. They continue unchanged in their life. When the word of God is proclaimed, it brings the reality of our nature to bear on us. We must acknowledge the truth of what it says and act to make changes. If we do not act quickly upon our conviction, life will return to business as usual. We will forget or ignore what God's word convicted us of and not make the changes it tells us to make. When we continue looking into God's word and do it, it will break our old sinful habits and create in us new holy habits. If we repeatedly hear and do not respond, we can become hardened, perhaps never being able to respond to it. We may never truly know Jesus as Lord. We might remember for a short time what the Word of God tells us to do, but unless we act quickly on what it says, we will continue to be unchanged by it. We will continue to be slaves to our sinful nature. If we are going to claim to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we dishonor him by not doing what he says, by not living as he wants us to and continuing to live as we want. We give the world opportunity to blaspheme him. Paul reprimands the Jews for not being doers of the law. In Romans 2:24, Paul tells the Jews, "For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." We can be hearers only, remaining conformed to the world and enslaved by our sin, or we can persevere in faith, doing the word of God, being set free from slavery to sin. James goes on to say, those who persevere in hearing God's word and doing what it says will be blessed in what they do. Verse 25, James tells us, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. James here describes the character of the doer of the word as one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres. We see a different Greek word here translated looks into than what was used above for the man who observes himself in the mirror. Here looks into means to stoop over, bend down, and make a careful observation. This is the same word used to describe Peter when he ran to the tomb where Jesus had been buried, and he stooped down and looked inside. This is not just an observation, but a careful examination with a heart desiring to seek the truth of God's word. To persevere looking into God's word is to continue in it. We are continuing into a deeper discovery of what it says. This is to become familiar with it, understand it, and apply it as doers of what it says. Paul describes this to the Colossians as letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. James refers to the perfect law as the law of liberty. The Greek word translated liberty literally means freedom. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5:1, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." In John 8, Jesus told the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans 8:1-2, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." In Christ, we are not only set free, no longer being slaves to sin, but now we are free to become slaves to righteousness. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 6:16-18, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." When we hear and receive God's word, the Spirit of God applies it to our hearts, setting us free from the bondage of sin. We are now slaves of righteousness, being obedient to God. In being doers of the word, we silence the naysayers and the ignorance of a foolish, unbelieving world as we serve God in active obedience to his word. The Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:15-16, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God." We are not just saying Jesus is Lord. We are proclaiming Jesus is Lord by living every day in obedience to him. Years ago, I met a man who was proud of his Catholic religion. He told me, "I like being Catholic because I can sin all week and come Sunday and be forgiven." This is being self-deceived and led astray. James says the doer is blessed in what he does. The Greek word for blessed literally means happy. This is the character trait Jesus uses to describe true disciples in the Beatitudes. This blessing is specifically regarding obedience to God's word. It echoes the words of Jesus in Luke 11:28. Jesus says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." When we are walking in obedience to God before an unbelieving world, we are a living testimony to the reality and work of God that has taken place in our hearts. Paul describes this testimony in the church at Corinth as a letter from Christ written by the Spirit of the living God on the tablets of our hearts. When we are walking in obedience to God's word every day, we are not only a testimony to the power of God to each other, but also to those who speak against us. It is the power of God in this testimony that can affect change in people, leading them to glorify Him. We have seen in the murder of Charlie Kirk what the world is ready and willing to do to silence the voice of those who are doers of the word. This wickedness is difficult to understand and brings a harsh reality into our lives that we must face. But as Solomon reminds us, there is nothing new under the sun. Man's wickedness has been from the beginning and will be until the very end. It is this wickedness that should compel us to be doers of the word, to stand against wickedness with a holy life of obedience to God. Charlie Kirk's voice may have been silenced, but his testimony continues on in those whom he influenced. We cannot let wickedness sway us from living a life of true faith before the world, to sway us from courageously walking in obedience to God and trusting Him with our life. What would people say about our testimony today? Is this the testimony that we want to be known for? We'll close with a message from the psalmist, Psalm 19, 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous all together. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Let us be doers of the word today as a testimony of our faith to a world that desperately needs the love of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning, Lord, just humbled by the power of your word. Lord, you convict us of our own worldly ways, but you show us the way of truth, Lord. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So based on the teaching of your word this morning, Lord, we pray that you would convict us in our hearts, that you would give us the courage to live in obedience to you before a world that hates us, to bring your light, the light of life, to them. Lord, this world needs your love desperately. We pray that you would work through us and give us strength to do your will, that we might shine for you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.